This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Over the years, we've reported on the more than half a million U.S. servicemen and women who served in Iraq and Afghanistan and are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
I couldn't even make sense of it, but...
Tonight, you'll hear PTSD can be contagious.
The worst of it was in seventh grade. I'd kind of decided that my family would be better off without me here.
NVIDIA has had a blistering ride to the top of the stock market.
Bill, look at this.
How does NVIDIA's technology make artificial intelligence possible?
Who are you?
I'm Fiona, a representation of Mother Nature.
It does quadrillions of calculations a second. It's just insane numbers.
And medical researchers and high-tech companies tell us this technology will affect our lives in ways we can only imagine.
This is wild.
Yeah.
It's an incredible feat.
Pearl Harbor's Red Hill Bulk Fuel Storage Facility. 7 miles of tunnels cut through volcanic rock, built to hold 250 million gallons of fuel.
So this is one of the tanks.
Oh my gosh.
And to give you kind of a reference point, the Statue of Liberty, not the base, but the statue itself, can fit in here with enough room.
Tonight, you'll hear what happened at this once secret site and how it's affected thousands of military families.
I'm Leslie Stahl.
I'm Bill Whitaker.
I'm Anderson Cooper.
I'm Sharon Alfonsi.
I'm John Wertheim.
I'm Cecilia Vega.
I'm Scott Pelley. Those stories and more tonight on 60 Minutes.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2 million Americans served in Afghanistan and Iraq, and at least 600,000 have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. For the most part, the U.S. is doing better, recognizing and treating these wounded warriors. But less well known are millions more who are in need but remain hidden. They are the children living with injured veterans. In a profound sense, PTSD can be contagious. Many children have become caregivers confronting depression and fear. And you will hear tonight that the stress can be so great it can lead to attempts of suicide. You're about to meet two courageous families who spoke to us so that others can know that help is on the way for America's children of war. In 2011, Chuck Rotenberry was a Marine on patrol in Afghanistan when an improvised landmine detonated a few feet away.
Which sent me down a hill 20, 30 feet, knocked me out, caused catastrophic injuries to the Marine behind me and the Marine behind him.
It was Rotenberry's second combat tour after Iraq.
What happened to the Marine behind you who had stepped on the IED?
He lost both his legs above the knee.
You and the medic put the tourniquets on him?
Yes, sir.
You saved his life.
I helped out, yeah.
When Rotenberry came home from his 7-month deployment, his wife Liz was pregnant with their fourth child. Chuck was suffering with a brain injury from a concussion and PTSD.
Chuck was struggling to just be in the house because he was dealing with so many emotions, mentally and physically. He was hiding in, you know, back rooms, and I'd find him crying, and he didn't understand why he was crying.
I didn't know whether I was coming or going.
Chuck kept a video diary as he dealt with self-isolation, anxiety, depression, and denial.
One second I'm up super high, and the next I'm not.
Chuck, who was that man who came home?
In my head, it was me. But I was very far from it, I think.
At age 7, his son Christopher pitched in. Over the years, he tried to shield his dad from triggers that set him off and shield his sisters from the emotional trauma.
I just worried about a lot of different things. Things that kids, I guess, at that age should not be worried about. And it kind of evolved into kind of like a helplessness.
He was becoming almost like my husband. There were times where he wouldn't be able to go to school because he was so stressed internally from everything happening, and I don't think he knew how to process it and understand it. I knew Christopher was starting to struggle with the weight of it all.
The weight grew as Chris turned 12.
The worst of it was in 7th grade. I think I kind of decided that, you know, my family would be better off without me here. I remember looking back on those days, it was just chaos all the time. And I remember taking my one of the dog's leashes upstairs and tied one into the bunk bed that we had, my little brother's bunk bed, and I tried, you know, hanging myself, and it was working, and my mom walked in on me, kind of, and I think I was kind of about to pass out. I was kind of, losing consciousness.
Walking in and seeing what was happening to him and what he was really struggling with, I knew everything else had to stop. Everything just had to stop, and my focus had to be Christopher.
Liz became the warrior, fighting for her family. Christopher went to intensive therapy, Then, he and his sisters enrolled in a clinic for military children confronting PTSD.
It's hard as a military family to own that when you're built with such pride and strength and you're seen as resilient, as the word is in our community. But it's okay to not be resilient, and it's okay to ask for help.
Therapy saved your family.
It did.
The guy stops and he's like,
little was known about families like the Rotenberries until the wife of a wounded warrior spent 10 months at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. Elizabeth Dole, former senator and transportation secretary, heard these families while caring for the late Senator Bob Dole.
And I met all of these young spouses, mothers, dads, who were caring for their wounded warriors. I don't think America is aware of what's happening. Most Americans have no idea what's happening in these military families. Less than 1% are serving in the military today. Less than 1% are protecting our freedom and our security. And it's so important for us to raise awareness of their challenges and their needs and to provide them with the support.
Dole created a foundation that commissioned studies of military caregivers. The studies discovered that more than 1 million are caring for those injured during the war since 9/11. Nearly half said they were overwhelmed.
You know, they felt guilty, really, that they were leaning on their children so much, needing their support, and that this was causing problems for the children. There are 2.3 million military children living in the homes of wounded warriors.
One of them is Elizabeth Cornelius.
And I just need to make sure everybody's okay, because if my mom isn't okay, everything's going to just fall.
Elizabeth has helped her mom, Ariel, as long as she can remember. Even before she was born, her dad brought terrifying memories home from a combat tour in Iraq. Ariel told us his first episode came with a pizza delivery.
The delivery man came up to the door and knocked on the door. And, you know, my husband didn't expect it. And he had an immediate flashback and threw me to the floor and was yelling, "Get down, get down, get down, get down."
Even with that, he deployed to Iraq again in 2007 and to Afghanistan in 2011. Ariel is a school teacher. Her husband is completely disabled by PTSD. He can't work and wasn't up to speaking with us. 16-year-old Elizabeth has become something of a co-parent to a brother and sister at home in Montana, shielding them, she told us, from episodes and arguments.
I just try to shield them as much as I can, as my mom did for me, and she did it for a very long time.
A lot of it falls on myself, and then she goes out and helps pick up the pieces that I can't.
Her husband's worst crisis came on the anniversary of an attack that killed several of his fellow Marines.
He was extremely suicidal because of all the memories that came back. He was barely hanging on. And it's just that regret. It's the flow of memories that come in.
Extremely suicidal, but Ariel found beds for inpatient mental health care can be scarce.
You know, Helena is an hour and a half, 2 hours away. Casper, Wyoming is 8+ hours away, and they didn't have a bed. We then looked at Idaho. They didn't have a bed. We looked at Oregon. They didn't have a bed. We still ended up having to wait 3 weeks before he could get the support he needed in Puget Sound, Washington. And, you know, that's 10 hours away.
3 weeks during this time, you felt like he could commit suicide?
At any point in time. And we couldn't get help.
Chasing care in a crisis and navigating government health insurance raised stress for everyone.
It's rough on her because she's been on the phone for hours and hours reading pamphlets trying to find us help.
In 2018, Elizabeth Dole watched President Trump sign a law that expanded VA benefits for caregivers of the severely disabled. It offers a stipend, access to health insurance, and counseling. The Dole Foundation's studies found that at least 100 other organizations are providing support, which now include the Dole Foundation itself. Steve Schwab is the CEO.
How does the foundation help these children?
One of the first things that we do is we offer emergency financial support to anybody who needs it. Second is peer support. We're building a first-of-its-kind peer support model that will link these children with other children like them for the first time in their lives. We offer on-the-ground respite care, backup care in the home, to provide a trained healthcare worker to come in and back up that mom or dad so that that family can take a break together.
One Dole Foundation partner, called Our Military Kids, paid fees to help keep the Cornelius children in sports. Their mom, Ariel, says that even the little things help her husband.
He is an amazing man, and I can't wait for him to get past, and I know he'll never get past the PTSD, but for him to heal enough to enjoy life and to be able to enjoy the family dynamics and those just being around.
You have hope for that.
I sure do, yeah.
Today, Liz Rotenberry leads a Dole Foundation initiative to train caregivers to be public advocates, for example, on Capitol Hill. Husband Chuck is recovering and works as a dog trainer for the Secret Service, and son Christopher recovered and has applied to follow his father into the military.
After all the things that Chris did to help the family during your troubles, what would you like your son to know?
First of all, everybody that's in my life now, I wouldn't be here without them. I tell him I love him all the time, and he replies. But I never really say why. Watching him grow, being aware of other people, there's plenty of proud dad moments for me. But I'm proud of you every day. All the time. You owe me nothing but to be happy.
More than just about anything, these families told us they want the nation to simply see and know the children living with disabled vets who are, in a sense, still fighting America's post-9/11 wars.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Only four companies in the world are worth more than $2 trillion. Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet, parent company of Google, and computer chip maker NVIDIA. The California-based company saw its stock market value soar from $1 trillion to $2 trillion in just 8 months this past year, fueled by the insatiable demand for its cutting-edge technology, the hardware and software that make today's artificial intelligence possible. We wondered how a company founded in 1993 to improve video game graphics turned into a titan of 21st century AI. So we went to Silicon Valley to meet NVIDIA's 61-year-old co-founder and CEO, Jensen Huang, who has no doubt
AI is about to change everything. At NVIDIA's annual developers conference this past March, the mood wasn't just upbeat. It was downright giddy. More than 11,000 enthusiasts, software developers, tech moguls, and happy shareholders filed into San Jose's Pro Hockey Arena to kick off a four-day AI extravaganza. They came to see this man, Jensen Huang, CEO of NVIDIA.
Welcome to GTC!
What was that like for you to walk out on that stage and see that?
You know, Bill, I'm an engineer, not a performer. When I walked out there and all of the people going crazy, it took the breath out of me. And so I was the scariest I've ever been. I'm still scared.
You'd never know it. Clad in his signature cool black outfit, Jensen shared the stage with NVIDIA-powered robots.
Let me finish up real quick.
And shared his vision of an AI future.
A new industrial revolution.
It reminded us of the transformational moment when Apple's Steve Jobs unveiled the iPhone. Jensen Huang unveiled NVIDIA's latest graphics processing unit, or GPU.
This is Blackwell.
Designed in America but made in Taiwan like most advanced semiconductors, Blackwell, he says, is the fastest chip ever.
Google is gearing up for Blackwell. The whole industry is gearing up for Blackwell.
NVIDIA ushered in the AI revolution with its game-changing GPU, a single chip able to process a myriad of calculations all at once, not sequentially like more standard chips. The GPU is the engine of NVIDIA's AI computer, enabling it to rapidly absorb a fire hose of information.
It does quadrillions of calculations a second. It's just insane numbers.
Is it doing things now that surprise you?
We're hoping that it does things that surprise us. That's the whole point. In some areas like drug discovery, designing better materials that are lighter, stronger, we need artificial intelligence to help us explore the universe in places that we could have never done ourselves.
Let me show you. Here, Bill, look at this.
Jensen took us around the GTC convention hall to show us what AI has made possible in just the past few years.
I'm making your drink now.
Some creations were dazzling.
This is a digital twin of the Earth. Once it learns how to calculate weather, it can calculate and predict weather 3,000 times faster than a supercomputer and 1,000 times less energy.
But NVIDIA's AI revolution extends far beyond this hall.
Blue metallic spaceship.
And let's generate something.
Pinar Seyhan Demirdağ is originally from Istanbul, but co-founded Kubrick near Boston. Her AI application uses NVIDIA's GPUs to instantly turn a simple text prompt into a virtual movie set for a fraction of the cost of today's backdrops.
This isn't something that's already planned.
No, we're doing it in real time. It's live.
Is Hollywood knocking at your door?
We're getting a lot of love.
Nearby at Generate Biomedicines, Dr. Alex Snyder, head of research and development, is using NVIDIA's technology to create protein-based drugs. She was surprised at first to see they showed promise in the lab.
Initially, when I was told about the application of AI to drug development, I sort of rolled my eyes and said, yeah, you know, show me the data. And then I looked at the data, and it was very compelling.
Dr. Snyder's team asks its AI models to create new proteins to fight specific diseases like cancer and asthma. A new way to defeat the coronavirus is now in clinical trials.
You're now working with proteins that do not exist in nature, that you're coming up with by way of AI?
Yes. We are actually generating what we call de novo, completely new structures that have not existed before.
Do you trust it?
As scientists, we can't trust, we have to test. We're not putting Frankensteins into people. We're taking what's known and we're really pushing the field, we're pushing the biology to make drugs that look like regular drugs but function even better.
This is a technology that will only get better from here.
Brett Adcock is CEO of Figure, a Silicon Valley startup with funding from NVIDIA. Look at his answer to labor shortages, an NVIDIA GPU-driven prototype called Figure 1.
I think what's been really extraordinary is the pace of progress we've made in 21 months.
From zero to this in 21 months.
Zero to this, yeah. We were walking this robot in under a year since I incorporated the company.
Could you do this without NVIDIA's technology?
We think they're arguably the best in the world at this. I don't know if this would be possible without them.
I'm here to assist with tasks as requested.
We were amazed that Figure 1 is not just walking, but seemed Figure to one. Reason.
Hand me something healthy.
On it.
Figure 1 was able to understand I wanted the orange, not the packaged snack.
Thank you.
It's not yet perfected.
Yeah, you're going to get it.
But the early results are so promising, German automaker BMW plans to start testing the robot in its South Carolina factory this year.
I think there's an opportunity to ship billions of robots in the coming decades onto the planet.
Billions. I would think that a lot of workers would look at that as this robot is taking my job.
I think over time, AI and robotics will start doing more and more of what humans can, and better.
But what about the worker?
The workers work for companies. And so companies, when they become more productive, earnings increase. I've never seen one company that had earnings increase and not hire more people.
There are some jobs that are going to become obsolete.
Well, let me offer it this way. I believe that you still want human in the loop because we have good judgment, because there are circumstances that the machines are not going to understand.
The futuristic NVIDIA campus sits just down the road from its modest birthplace, this Denny's in San Jose.
Good morning.
Where 31 years ago, NVIDIA was just an idea.
My goodness.
When he was 15, Jensen Huang worked as a dishwasher at Denny's. As a 30-year-old electrical engineer married with two children, he and two friends, NVIDIA co-founders Chris Malachowski and Curtis Preem, envisioned a whole new way of processing video game graphics.
And so we came here, right here to this Denny's, sat right back there, and the three of us decided to start the company. Frankly, I had no idea how to do it. And nor did they. None of us knew how to do anything.
Their big idea? Accelerate the processing power of computers with a new graphics chip. Their initial attempt flopped and nearly bankrupted the company in 1996.
And the genius of the engineers and Chris and Curtis, we pivoted to the right way of doing things.
And created their groundbreaking GPU. The chip took video games from this to this today.
Completely changed computer graphics, saved the company, launched us into the stratosphere.
Just 8 years after Denny's, NVIDIA earned a spot in the S&P 500. Jensen then set his sights on developing the software and hardware for a revolutionary GPU-driven supercomputer, which would take the company far beyond video games. To Wall Street, it was a risky bet. To early developers of AI, it was a revelation.
Was that luck or was that vision?
That was luck founded by vision. We invented this capability, and then one day, the researchers that were creating deep learning discovered this architecture, because this architecture turns out to have been perfect for them.
Perfect for AI.
Perfect for AI.
This is the first one we've ever shipped.
In 2016, Jensen delivered NVIDIA's AI supercomputer, the first of its kind, to Elon Musk, then a board member of OpenAI, which used it to create the building blocks of ChatGPT.
How are you?
When AI took off,
hey guys,
so did Jensen Huang's reputation.
Can we get a picture?
Yeah.
He's now a Silicon Valley celebrity. He told us the boy who immigrated from Taiwan at age 9 could never have conceived of this.
It is the most extraordinary thing, Bill, that a normal dishwasher busboy could grow up to be this. There's no magic. It's just 61 years of hard work every single day. I don't think there's anything more than that.
We met a humble Jensen at Denny's. Back at NVIDIA's headquarters in Santa Clara, we saw he can be intense.
Let me tell you what some of the people who you work with said about you. Demanding, perfectionist, not easy to work for. All that sound right?
Perfectly, yeah. It should be like that. If you want to do extraordinary things, it shouldn't be easy.
All right, guys, keep up the good work.
NVIDIA has never done better. Investors are bullish. But last year, more than 600 top AI scientists, ethicists, and others signed this statement urging caution, warning of AI's risk to humanity.
When I talk to you and I hear you speak, part of me goes, gee whiz. And the other part of me goes, oh my God, what are we in for?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
It's both. Yeah, you're feeling all the right feelings. I feel both.
You feel both?
Sure.
Humanity will have the choice to see themselves inferior to machines or superior to machines.
Pinar Sehan Demirdar is an AI optimist, though she named her company Kubrick, an homage to Stanley Kubrick, the director of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Hello, Hal, do you read me?
In that film, Hal, the AI computer, goes rogue.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
I think that's what worries people about AI, that we will lose control of it.
Just because a machine can do faster calculations, comparisons, and analytical solution creation, that doesn't make you smarter than you. It simply computates faster. In my world, in my belief, smarts have to do with your capacity to love, create, expand, transcend. These are qualities that no machine can ever bear, that are reserved to only humans.
There is something going on.
Jensen Huang sees an AI future of progress and prosperity, not one with machines as our masters. We can only hope he's right.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The U.S. military takes pride in protecting its own. That's why military families we met in Hawaii told us they feel so betrayed. 2 years ago, there was a fuel spill close to the drinking water system at the Pearl Harbor base in Hawaii. Navy leadership assured thousands of military families that the tap water was safe. But nearly 2 weeks after the spill, parents learned the truth. The water they drank or used to bathe their kids contained jet fuel. Tonight, you'll hear from some of the families who say the jet fuel-tainted water made them sick. But first, we'll go to where the water crisis at Pearl Harbor began. From the air, the historic naval base is easy to spot. 8 miles from Honolulu, sparkling blue waters host battle-gray ships and memorials to those killed by Japan's surprise attack in 1941. What you can't see is the one secret storage site that provided fuel for the Pacific Fleet and its planes for 80 years.
It doesn't look like much from the outside.
Wait till you get inside.
Vice Admiral John Wade led us through the Red Hill Bulk Fuel Storage Facility. 7 miles of tunnels cut through volcanic rock, built to hold 250 million gallons of fuel.
So this is one of the tanks.
Oh my gosh.
That black hole is a steel-lined fuel tank so deep it's hard to see the bottom 20 stories below.
To just show you how enormous this tank holds 12.5 million gallons. And to give you kind of a reference point, the Statue of Liberty, not the base, but the statue itself, can fit in here with enough room.
And this is just one of the 20 tanks hidden here.
This is the Arizona, writhing in death agony.
When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, construction was already underway to protect the Navy's fuel reserves from an aerial attack.
The decision was made to embark on a Herculean task to build a bulk storage fuel facility inside a mountain in secrecy.
And how long did that take to do?
It was a little less than 3 years. At its peak, there are about 4,000 men working here. Now watch your head, we're gonna go this way.
But this testament to American resolve became a monumental liability after this. That's jet fuel spraying from a cracked pipe. The video was recorded by a worker inside Red Hill on November 20th of 2021. The fuel, 20,000 gallons of it, was trapped in a plastic pipe. The weight caused the pipe to sag. This trolley hit it, and jet fuel spewed for 21 hours, close to the well that supplied drinking water for 93,000 people on and around the base at Pearl Harbor.
According to Navy investigators, the workers who responded didn't have the right tools to contain the spill. They also assumed there was no danger to the drinking water. They were wrong. At least 5,000 gallons of jet fuel drained into the tunnel floor and into the Navy water system.
The next day, the Navy issued a press release about the incident and told the 8,400 families living in military housing the water remained safe to drink, even though the Navy had not tested the water yet. A week later, residents began to notice a problem.
When did you get the sense that there was something wrong with the water?
My husband came into the kitchen and washed his hands and said, gosh, the water smells like I just did an oil change, like the water smells weird.
Brittany Traeger lived on base, about 2.5 miles from Red Hill, with her daughter and husband, who is a Navy chief petty officer. Traeger says she began to feel sick a week after the spill.
I had a cough. My tonsils were very swollen. I remember a very distinct moment where I was walking to the car and I had vertigo so bad that I had to hold on to the car.
The smell was that overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
In an email to residents 9 days after the spill, the commanding officer of the base reassured residents, "There are no immediate indications that the water is not safe. My staff and I are drinking the water."
Did you stop using water? Did you stop taking baths? So I did. My daughter did.
Just because you had a bad feeling, not because anybody told you to.
Correct. They gave us an email address that we could send an email to if we wanted to have our water tested. So I emailed those people who then emailed me a phone number that I should call. And I called that phone number for days and it was just busy. They were overwhelmed and inundated with reports.
10 days after the spill, there were more than 200 reports from 6 neighborhoods across the base of strong fuel odor coming from kitchen and bathroom faucets. But the Navy said its initial tests did not detect fuel.
It defied logic. You know, even though there was a leak, and even though our water smelled like jet fuel, and even though there was sheen on it, they continued to say, the tests are coming back negative.
After 12 days and 4 statements assuring residents the water was not contaminated with fuel, the Navy reversed course. On December 2nd, 2021, it announced more comprehensive tests conducted by the Navy had detected jet fuel in the water. 3 weeks after the spill, tests from Hawaii's Department of Health revealed jet fuel levels 350 times higher than what the state considers safe. Rochelle Dietz lives on base with her husband, a Navy chief petty officer, and their 2 children.
Jet fuel's not something that you would even think could happen to be in your water.
How were people reacting to the news?
I was so sick to my stomach from that news that I actually threw up when I heard.
Because why?
Because my kids had just been poisoned.
Within a month, the Navy set up medical tents for residents. Some complained of stomach problems, severe fatigue, and coughing. The military moved more than 4,000 families to hotels. Small studies of military personnel suggest jet fuel exposure can lead to neurological and breathing problems. But the long-term impact of ingesting jet fuel is unknown because it's so unlikely to ever happen. Rochelle Dietz told us days after the spill, her daughter's tonsils became inflamed, and her son started suffering from chronic headaches.
I can hear people saying, tonsils, headaches, kids get that stuff. How do you know it's related?
Because they never had it before November of 2021. It wasn't an issue.
It's unclear how many got sick, but of 2,000 people who responded to a survey by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 850 sought medical care. The water system was flushed over 3 months and bottled water brought in. Brittany Traeger said her 4-year-old now suffers respiratory problems, which require hour-long treatments at least 2 times a day. That includes a nebulizer and this vibrating vest to clear her lungs.
Tell me about your daughter's health.
13 days after the contamination, after our water smelled like jet fuel, my daughter woke up in the hotel with a cough. And it pretty much never went away.
3 months passed before Pearl Harbor's drinking water was deemed safe again. The Navy's own investigation into the spill described, quote, cascading failures and revealed poor training, supervision, and ineffective leadership at Red Hill that fell unacceptably short of Navy standards. For the last 10 years, Hawaiians have raised concerns about the threat from smaller leaks at Red Hill. The primary water supply for the city of Honolulu is 100 feet below the Navy complex. In March of 2022, the Secretary of Defense ordered Red Hill permanently closed. Vice Admiral John Wade was brought in to get the 104 million gallons of fuel out of the tanks and move it safely to sites around the Pacific.
We got to defuel. That's the imminent threat. There's ongoing and will be continued long-term environmental remediation to restore the aquifer, the land and surrounding area. And then there's also a medical component for those that have been impacted.
You view now this thing that was a lifeline for the fleet is a threat.
That's right. That's right.
In 6 months, Wade's team in Hawaii successfully removed almost all of the fuel. But it took 2 years before the Navy issued disciplinary letters to 14 officers involved in the spill response, including 5 admirals.
Was anyone fired because of this?
At the time that the accountability came through, we had officers that had already retired, and so they had already separated from service.
Meredith Berger is an assistant secretary of the Navy. We met her at the Pentagon in November. She told us the Navy has been accountable.
We're talking about 20,000 gallons of fuel leak, 90,000 people had their water contaminated. It looks like people retired or were reassigned, and no one was fired. How is that accountability?
It's accountability within the system that we have established, and we have heard that this was too long and that maybe it didn't go far enough.
2,000 military families agree the Navy didn't go far enough and are suing the government. The Traegers and Dietzes have joined the lawsuit, alleging they were harmed by negligence at Red Hill.
Are you angry that it happened, or are you angry at what happened after?
It's a little bit of anger, but it's also this feeling of betrayal.
What do you mean betrayal?
So my husband has been in for almost 18 years. We have moved our family cross country, cross oceans. We gave so much of our life to the Navy for them to ignore warnings, and then we were directly and blatantly lied to about it.
Navy leadership has apologized for the spill, but has not said that the contaminated water is the cause of the ongoing illnesses. The Navy did set up a clinic on base to collect data and treat anyone who believes they have health issues related to the tainted water.
What happens in 5 or
10 or 15 years, will those services still be available to these families?
So that is part of why we are making sure that we're collecting that information to inform future actions and what the requirements are for those types of needs and care.
That doesn't sound like a guarantee of care in the future.
And I want to be careful because I don't do the healthcare part of things, and so I don't want to speak outside of where I have any authority or decision.
So we followed up with the Defense Department, which told us it's reviewing the question of long-term healthcare for military families, including more than 3,100 children. 2 years after the spill, some residents have reported water with a smell or sheen. The Navy is conducting daily tests at Pearl Harbor and says it is confident there is no fuel in the tap water. Rochelle Dietz is still using bottled water. The lawsuit she joined with Brittany Traeger and the other military families is scheduled to go to trial tomorrow.
What is the remedy that you want?
In our family, it's restoring my faith in our nation.
That's a big thing to say.
There's a body of government that failed. They contaminated our water, they lied to us, they did not protect us, and they did not intervene. And accountability looks like a lifelong care plan for me, my family, and the people affected. And that will restore my faith in my nation.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Now, the last minute of 60 Minutes.
Tonight, an update of a story we reported this past December, chaos on campus. In the wake of Hamas's bloody attack on Israeli civilians on October 7th last year, and Israel's deadly bombardment and invasion of Gaza, some American college campuses erupted. Charges of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia divided students and faculties alike. We also found it didn't have to be that way. Dartmouth encouraged conversation between supporters of Israel and supporters of Palestinian rights. Creative faculty members found ways to get the sides together, listen to each other, and foster empathy. This past week, angry campus demonstrations re-erupted across the country. Columbia, USC, Michigan, Emory. At the University of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott ordered state troopers in to quell protests. American education might benefit from a few more Dartmouths. I'm Bill Whitaker. We'll be back next week with another edition of 60 Minutes.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, Why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. Okay. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene,
there were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.